I can call to order the regular session of the Borough Mayor and Council for Tuesday, November 13th. I'd like to invite everyone to join the Mayor and Council in signing the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you please join us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
As usual, our first item of business is to approve minutes from previous meeting. First is the approval of the executive session minutes of the Mayor and Council meeting of October 22nd.
Move to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Lynch to approve the executive session minutes. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay. Let the record show that we have four council members present tonight, but the only council member absent is a council member for now. Okay. Let's see what I'll say. The reason for the executive session on October 22nd was to consult with staff, consultants, or other individuals about pending or potential litigation. And now we have the approval of the regular session minutes of October 22nd.
Move to approve.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Okay, the regular session minutes are approved. Next, we're going to have a presentation. And Tim, are you going to make this presentation? Who's going to make the presentation for Next Grid?
The owner of Next Grid.
Okay. If you come forward and just state your name and your title and
sure can.
Where you're from and all that.
Sure can. Thank you. Costa Apostolakis, I'm the CEO and founder of Next Grid.
Okay, thank you.
You'll have to use the laptop.
Okay, we'll match the mouse. what I brought prepared today, as many of you may know, Next Grid's currently doing some Wi-Fi hotspot in the town of Berlin, where we have some small little gateways that are on top of your streetlights that are providing public Wi-Fi. In addition, Tim Lawrence reached out to us in regards to potential for electric water and gas metering. We support that from the same gateway, simply by adding meters, thermostats, anything people could add into their home to communicate back over the system. So today what I just brought is a little demonstration of that. We actually have, I think, about 10 meters?
Right now, we have about five.
There's five electric meters that are currently installed as a test that I think Timmy's been testing for the last 6 or so.
How long have you been testing those?
About 5 or 6 months.
5 or 6. We put them in at the same time we put the Wi-Fi hotspot in.
Early summer. All right, thank you.
So real quickly, a little bit about Next Grid. We're based in Virginia, in Northern Virginia. We typically sell directly to municipal utilities within the United States. We also have two projects on U.S. naval bases in the United States. We just do pretty much smart grid metering, including electric and water metering. And in addition, the Wi-Fi hotspot is kind of a byproduct of what we do.
How long have you been in business?
Since February of 2009. The gateways that you currently have, as I just mentioned, those gateways, not only do they provide Wi-Fi hotspot, but they do provide a smart grid portal for energy management. And in addition, I just brought some samples to show. Typical electric meter looks just like your normal electric meter have, made by General Electric. We support General Electric meters. That's what's installed currently. On the water meter side, we pretty much support every major manufacturer of water meters that are out there. Our modules just simply add to those existing water meters. We also make a few other things. We don't make a thermostat, but we make little modules that go inside of a thermostat. This provides the residents of Berlin, if they put a thermostat in their home, they can actually control and manage that thermostat from a mobile device through an iPhone app or through a customer web portal, as well as it provides the residents with their energy consumption and water consumption information on the thermostat always. So it always tells them every 15 minutes how much energy they're using in dollars and cents, as well as in kW. We provide some software as well. Timmy's currently already using the one big piece of this software, which is basically for the electric utility to manage and monitor their system, as well as the water utility to look at consumption information, read the electric meters, and so forth. We do also outage notification from our meters, so when power does go out within the network, any particular meter instantaneously would tell Public Works that there's an outage on that system, and then when it's restored, it comes back and tells them that the power's restored. So you always have a 100% outage management system that you always know where power is or where power is.
Is that for each and every, let's say, household?
Exactly. Every single meter has that embedded within the module. So, and since our system is real-time all the time, many systems that are manufactured like this, our competition, they make systems that may only report in once a day or once a week. Our system's the second. So when you have an outage, you instantaneously know how many outages you have, and then when they're restored, you know exactly how many come back.
So they're all in real-time?
All real-time, everything. That also includes reaching out to the devices and asking information. So if the utility wanted to get a last read, for example, customer wanted to come in and pay their last bill, they can get a meter read without sending a truck out to that meter. What I mainly brought today was just to talk, which the town of Berlin is not currently using, is our telehome customer portal. This is what's, again, another byproduct of our system, which is what the residents of Berlin would use to log in and see their customers' energy consumption. So they could actually see their not only their historical billing information, but live energy consumption. This also has predictive analysis built into it, so they can actually see, for example, if they think there's something inefficient in their home, they can actually see that information in real time. So there's some screenshots that are built into this. I apologize in advance for the screen sizes, but so for example, little things like seeing their electric meter. And let me try to do this live. It may be better. So I'm actually in the software right now. This is the town of Berlin's current system on the map, which you're seeing here. We have a meter that's installed. Timmy will know better than I do. It's labeled as Town of Berlin. I think it's on one of the buildings around here.
Yeah, it's right next door at
So basically, the customer portal, when the customer logs in, what we've just simulated is this customer, if this was their meter, and we can see the current energy consumption right now, which is very low. It's 0.45 kW. But on the right-hand side here, what's happening is we put the meter in live demand. So we're actually seeing the live information coming in from this meter, as you can see the scroll here. Do an unquick thing here so you can see it in dollars and cents. So, for example, things like this, the customer can actually click on the electric meter. If they had a water meter, a thermostat, or anything, all those devices would be down the left-hand side here, and they would have the capability to adjust any of these devices. The electric meter, they'll actually see their real electric meter outside of their home and see what the actual register value is. There's not a whole lot of energy being used in this meter right now, but this would typically show in dollars and cents the actual live energy, so they could actually walk around their home and turn on or turn off things and actually see what the impact is in dollars and cents. This comes in handy when they may think that there's something in their home that's inefficient and causing them to spend a lot of money. They can actually narrow it down by unplugging things and so forth. And then they can also just see their typical billing information, which we don't have in there because we don't have accounts. We're not set up to integrate with the billing system yet, but typically they'll see how many dollars and cents they've used so far this month, what their current bill would be if they kept using energy, the way they're using it, and so forth. And then we do some other things, which is not as interesting yet because we don't have mirror meters here, but we do things like comparison, for example. Customers that have the service can fill in their home information if they'd like, what year it is, how many square foot it is, how many people live there, if they have gas heat, electric heat, and so forth. And then what it'll do is it'll compare them to like homes. It won't tell them who it is, but it'll say you compared to other people who live in Berlin, you're currently in the 65 percentile, 35 percentile, and so forth. So it gives them kind of a more of an indicator. We also have automated alerts that come up here because our system can predict, for example, hot water heaters and things like this turning on, and we'll actually tell them customers, for example, we think your hot water heater is inefficient, and run them through some testing, and it'll actually then compare them to the energy guide ratings and say, well, you're currently using
X. Now, where is that information generated?
It's generated actually, so all the data from everything is actually comes back and sits in a server that's located somewhere here in Berlin. We take that data, we have a database from our side that we compare for all of our customers nationwide, and then we also have all the ENERGY STAR ratings from most efficient devices, hot water heaters and so forth, and then we do comparison. So when we see someone's hot water heater maybe costing them $100 a month and we compare it to the latest and greatest energy guide that's $20 a month, we say they're using $80. In addition, then they can make an educated decision whether they should replace their hot water. So, let me see that slide deck. So we don't have water here, but if they did have a water meter, they would see the same thing like they do in the electric meter. They would see their water meter, and they would actually see the gauge just like that if they went out there and actually looked at it. These are just showing some more of the widgets, what we call widgets. Again, the screen's tough to see here, but you can see here, this is a demonstrating they're using 15 cents an hour of energy. The billing summary will actually do, again, their estimated bill, very difficult to see on the screen here. Apologize again. We do load control. We also have, again, options if the customer or the utility wanted to do load control, for example, to put a controller on their hot water heater, they can actually then control that portal as well to turn it on and off to save energy, put it on a schedule, so forth. And they can do the same thing with the thermostat as well. And we also will have light switches actually coming out end of next quarter that if they wanted to swap their light switches out, they could actually control those light switches as well through the same portal. So you can see kind of where I was going with this. What we do as a company, again, our core focus is the electric utility and water utility, basically bringing all this information back to them so that they can actually manage and operate the electric grid. And then all of this type of stuff is actually part of the solution, and it's up to the town whether or not they want to, you know, let the customers use it. There is no cost for any of these things. These are all part of the package. The only cost would be is, for example, if they wanted a thermostat, they buy the thermostat, but the portal is working within the system. And some examples, this thermostat's for sale now at Home Depot. They just would need to get the little comm module. So.
Now, this time is areas within the Wi-Fi system that currently exist?
That's correct. So we have about 5 gateways currently. And I think we estimated you would only need about 35 to do 100% coverage. So
we have 5 now, and then we need 35.
30 more, and then you would have a 100% coverage of backbone. A couple things I did mention, too. When we're on the streetlight, we also monitor the streetlight. So these devices actually not only provide the gateway, they monitor and operate that streetlight. So we can actually tell the utility that the streetlight's inefficient or the bulb's not on or the bulb should be on, and they can actually set those schedules and so forth as well. So we take advantage of wherever we plug devices in. Our meters and all of our devices also act as repeaters. So what happens with our system is it turns into a very big, large mesh network. So as meters, the more devices you add, the more robust the system becomes. That includes with the water meters as well. I know that the water department had talked with some other companies, and it kind of turns itself into its own system, where in our system, those water meters can then use electric meters, thermostats, or whatever, to act as repeaters to get that data back.
Well, I know everybody that's provided us with any kind of input regarding the future of energy use and saving people money say that most of the opportunity, at least in the immediate years, is going to come from conservation.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that each individual has to take responsibility for, right, regardless if they're a resident or a business. So are you saying for us to find out if this works as well and as effectively for people that we would have to expand the system first, or would we be able to test within the area that we currently serve?
No, the area. I think today we put a proposal in just to add meters, so not really expand the system, leave the current Wi-Fi system up and add some electric meters within the downtown area. Again, Tim,
what are we talking about here in terms of dollars and cents?
Mayor, on the purchase orders, it's the third item, and that's the $18,000, and that's for both the water and the electric meters. So if the council wants to go forward with this pilot program in the downtown area, we would ask that you approve the purchase order for the water and electric meters.
Tell me about the...
For electric meters, what we did in the pilot, and what we always do for all of our pilots, is we price the pilot the exact same cost if you would do 100% deployment. So we don't charge you more because you're only doing a certain amount. And I can't remember the exact numbers, but for example, electric meters, they vary based on whether it's a commercial meter or a residential meter. I think mostly you would have residential meters, and I think the residential meters are around $115 in your quantity.
$125.
All in.
$100 for the water, retrofit, I think $125.
For those. Right. And that includes all services as well. We actually put everything into our product price when we price it. We don't then.
Can you talk a little bit of the difference between your company and the others and the fact that we've seen 5 presentations probably over the last 9 months. And one thing that was very impressive is you own this technology, don't you? You developed the software and the hardware.
As far as NextGrid?
Yes.
Yeah, well, so one of the big differentiators that we get in the details is we support what is 100% standards-based system. That's why we can do Wi-Fi internet off of our gateways. In fact, when Timmy called and said, I know you guys do Wi-Fi, it's because we actually support those standards-based communications. We believe that that's the way, that drives costs down, first and foremost. You have very large companies like Motorola's and Cisco's of the world that are making very very aggressive priced chipsets that are standardized. Security is by far the best, and we use the same security encryptions that your bank would use to log in. That's why we're on 2 Navy bases today. We actually are the only smart grid gateway to have what's called FIPS 140-2 certification. And then back to your question in regards to the other differentiators, we do everything in real time, and we do it all in the same exact communication infrastructure, where most of our competition will come in and say, here's how you do water, here's how you would do electric, here's how you do gas, here's how you do streetlight control, here's how you do it. And then you end up having 9 different pieces of software, 9 different communication networks. You're not taking advantage of anything, and then it becomes very complicated, and as a utility, you end up hiring more employees now to manage a network.
Well, if we proceeded with trying this in the area that is already providing Wi-Fi, is how many customers, in terms of both businesses and residents, would we have to use as our...
I think it was 100 total electric meters.
It's 100 total electric meters, and I think 40 on the water side.
40 water, but it would serve the same amount.
Same customers, 40 of them.
Water has like six apartments on one water meter.
Okay.
That little gizmo there that mm-hmm. you said, is that the thing that would... No.
Last one.
Is that what we currently have installed?
This is what you have right
now. The 5 of them.
These are plugged in on, they just simply twist
and
plug in.
We have 5
of them. Yep, on the street.
Now, is that what we're going to buy 6 more of?
No, you wouldn't, I don't think we're selling any more of these.
What do they cost?
These are only about $400, $400 or $500.
Okay, you've got to buy one of these.
We have one of those on there? I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I didn't do your price, so I didn't have it.
No, that's the Intel telephone type of one.
Oh, configuration? Okay, so that's the actual setup and configuration of all the software. I think other than that, we're just selling.
How does it look as far as Lightning and
there's 2 Lightning certifications, I guess AR 215 and 219 that we're certified under. If it takes a direct strike, it just like your street light, it probably take it out, but it's at least lightning arrest from power surges and so forth like that. So we have a very large deployment in Jamaica. And when the hurricane just went through, we lost 1 unit. So
we have some of these meters installed now, right?
5.
How have you found those 5? Talk to me about reliability and accuracy.
Reliability has been perfect the entire time, and the accuracy is right on. What I've been doing for the past 5 or 6 months is I'll actually go out and read them, and then I go online and check it against what I read, and it's perfect, broke down to KW, and we haven't had one fail yet since it was installed.
And how long have they been installed?
I think it's about 5 months now, something like that. Since the Wi-Fi was activated. Same time that we did the Wi-Fi, we put the 5 meters in for a test purpose, and it's been working time and time again.
Now, I have to ask this question. You said this data is stored somewhere that you operate, right? Is that right?
Well, right now it is because we did a pilot. If you guys were to move forward, then there would be a server that would be put here that the data would be in here.
So we're not, in this proposal, we're not buying a server?
No. We actually, in this proposal, we're giving you the server license for this pilot at no charge. So you already, we already made an agreement with Berlin when you did the Wi-Fi. You're technically using that server as well, and there's communication data that's being stored right now. And we made an agreement that said we would, for if you were just doing Wi-Fi, that there'd be no charge for that.
Have you done a projection of, let's assume that everything works as well as you present, mm-hmm. what kind of investment would we have to make to serve the rest of the network?
I think we also submitted a full quote. Did we break it out?
As a ballpark, Mayor, you're talking about approximately, what, 1,800 water accounts changed?
Yep, at 100
each. At 100 each, so
180.
And you're talking 125, but you got 2,300 approximately electric accounts. So we were around a $500,000 range as a approximate.
Everything we got installed so far was done in-house by our people?
Yes, sir.
That's one of the other differentiators of our system. We don't, everything that we make is embedded and standardized, so even down to these devices here, they twist and lock. There's no network engineers or so forth. I think Timmy spoke with one of our projects in Pennsylvania, St. Clair's, about your same size. They hired no additional staff, did all the installation themselves, completed within about 7 months, and it's about 25.
Is there a way we can measure how effective the customers feel that these meters are for them in terms of, you know, is there some way in which they can fill out a survey or something and then 6 months later?
We did with Jamaica. They made a survey, the utility did, and I'm sure we could get a copy of that if you'd like to do the same thing. We also have tracking tools within our software that you can actually see how many customers are logging on and when and how often. So you can look at actually weekly, monthly, daily data.
I guess what my thought here is that if the town makes such an investment, mm-hmm. the ultimate payoff is for people to be able to reduce their cost of the water bills right. and the electric bills.
Right.
Because they'd be able to literally manage it in real time or as close to real time as they have time
right.
to deal with. So, you know, what I think it's going to be critical if we do this on a test case basis to be able to get input that shows, first of all, the level of participation and the level of success people are having
right.
in managing their cost.
Because yeah, I agree.
That's our only incentive. Is
well, I would say that there's other incentives from a utility. For example, you don't need meter readers anymore to go out and read the meters and truck rolls, power outages and so forth like that. You don't roll your trucks. You always know exactly what's going in regards to that. There's some other things that we didn't really get into because we just focused on the customer portal. But in our utility software portal, there's other, for example, we do transformer monitoring. So you would know what your loads are on all your transformers at any point in time, which would help you sometimes downsize your transformer to save energy, which is actually a much bigger savings from that standpoint as opposed to a customer saving something, or maybe potentially upsize a transformer if it's overutilized. So it's a mixture as well, I guess is what I'm saying.
From what I understand, Mr. Chairman, saying is that this would help you in terms of time and efficiency in responding to outages?
Yes, sir. One of the things the service does, for example, is I'll just throw something out there. Say in Decatur Farms, for example, that we have a power outage on a certain street. This system, you can actually look at it, and it can tell you which houses are out of power, so we don't have to go searching where the problem is. We know that, you know, this street down here, we can look at each meter and see they're out, everybody else is on. So that's telling us, okay, at this fuse cabinet, we may have a fuse blown right there. And that's why this outage is...
Can you tell that before you even leave?
That is correct.
The building?
Yes. It cuts down on your outage time. It helps a lot, you know, in response. Cuts down on the truck rolls for meter reading. You can also do automatic disconnects with it. Like, we have a lot of transfers, people moving in and out. We have to physically take the meter out, put boots on it, put the meter back in. This system allows you to have meters that do remote disconnect. So basically, you just hit a switch and it turns the power off to wherever you want to shut it down to. And one thing is, when you're pulling the meter in and out, you know, multiple times, you're basically wearing the blades out in the meter itself, which can cause, you know, issues as far as loose connections, that type of thing. By having this type of system, you can just do it remotely.
If I understand correctly, if we could go along with this trial,
yes,
and we make an investment of almost $19,000, mm-hmm, then assuming it works and we give it a good test for the next 6 months, then in our next budget to be able to expand that service townwide, we'd have to budget somewhere in the neighborhood of $250,000.
You'd either do it that way, or you could add to the system in pieces. You know, if you don't want to do the entire system, you could add on to it, you know, 1 year, add some more to it, add more to
your company. So is it limited or restrained in any way from the three main circuits we have, or is it totally independent of that?
It's totally independent.
So you can basically do it almost in any sequence and at within reason, mm-hmm, in an incremental way based, yes, on what we've got, what the resources to
over the next 2 to 3 months, as soon as next week, I will be meeting with USDA in Dover to look at potential grant opportunities. MDE has an application that they have funded other towns and cities for the same type of technology that's due at the end of January. So in the meantime, we will certainly be seeking out grants that would enable us to purchase the entire system. Price-wise, from the 5 or 6 companies that we've been looking at, it is much less expensive. We feel that the technology is even enhanced and the price is less. I know Mr. and Mrs. Beeman's here. They started this, I think, 5 years ago. They were to this point, and at one point, the electric portion itself that we had set aside in bonds, we had $600,000+. That was going to fund just the electric system.
This is both.
So we're talking at about half the price of what 4 years ago that the town had was almost ready to invest in.
Sure, absolutely. It is actually, we're 100% made in USA. Other than we don't, again, make the General Electric meters themselves, but we have a facility in Charlotte, North Carolina, where we do all of our manufacturing of PCB boards, and all assembly is done in Fredericksburg, Virginia.
And the software is your software?
All NextGrid software. There's two main pieces of software, which I mentioned, which is the customer web portal, and then the utility web portal, which is called Echo One. Both those portals, and then the server, there's actually a software that sits on there that gathers all that data and stores it in a standardized database as well. So even if what we've built is called an open-based API, so even if another company steps up and says, we make a really great outage software, they could actually connect that into our system, and actually you could purchase that down the road as well if you ever wanted to, because of the openness of the architecture.
And that's independent of your company?
We actually make everything as a full package right now. You would have to buy nothing from anybody else, but we just made it again. So if somebody did come and say, we've got something that we think's better and you believe it would work with the system. And that also goes with communication. One of the things we like to point out is you're buying an infrastructure. This should last, you know, upwards of 20 years. So you're making the decision right now. It's kind of like thinking about buying a computer 20 years ago or getting on the internet 20 years. The demand 20 years ago for communication is completely different. So you want to buy something that if somebody else shows up and say they have a great widget and we don't even know what it is right now, you want that to be able to be on your system. So.
There was something about when we were talking about solar power where, mm-hmm, the meter was going to go backwards.
Right. We support that right out of the box. That's another good point. It's called net metering. So every meter that we sell has actually the net metering. So when we talk about meter reads that come in, we store them every 15 minutes in the database, and we store four registers: the register going forward, the register going backwards, demand plus received, and received minus demand. So that all four of those registers are in there, so customers can actually see, you know, if they did put a solar panel, a windmill, or whatever, they can actually see when they delivered it. Of course, it's important for the utility to see when they delivered it as well, to give them credits and so forth.
Right. But it would be another incentive for them to, you know,
absolutely. And they'll see that in the portal as well.
Yeah, so they would be making that investment on their own based on what was appropriate for their home or neighborhood.
That's
or
correct, yeah. And we, because of the system is web-based on this side, we're constantly making changes and updates to the system, a lot of times because of customer requests. Like a customer may say, like, for example, we're doing a prepay widget right now. We have a utility that does prepay, so the customers wanted to see a prepay, you know, how much credit do I have similar to cellular and so forth, so they can actually go on there, and then we tell them, if you keep using energy this way, you'll run out of credit, you know, in November 28th at 5 p.m. So they kind of can gauge, okay, that's what that $60 will do for me. So
there was something somewhere in this stuff that I read about how this integrates into our billing system.
Right.
Is not addressed at this point.
Right. So we did not integrate into the billing system as of yet, but obviously we would, and we have what's, again, that API for that integration, and we would expect to do that. The integration we typically do as part of the cost in what's called a flat file, a simple way just that this would... this would go straight into your billing system. And then many times with most utilities, they start doing a two-way full integration, so they don't even have to do a once-a-month button where they press it and it goes into the system. So, and we
seamless.
Can seamless, exactly. So that's typically
every
the way you want.
Every salesman always tells us it's seamless.
I'll be honest, that part's not as seamless, but the flat file integration is seamless. And it'd be the same if one of your meter readers ran around everywhere and got a read from every single electric meter and came back and spit out that file. We can spit that file out by pressing a button every couple seconds. So that part's easy. It's the two-way integration is a little different for every building system. And then, as Tim mentioned, remote disconnect as well. That's, again, you basically would just be the same exact meter with remote disconnect capability, but if you have areas like an apartment complex stuff where you have a high, you know, in-out type of fluctuation, you can actually put a remote disconnect meter on it and then sit at the office, get a last read, disconnect the meter. Meter's still powered from a communication standpoint, and then reconnect it without having to roll a truck or pull a meter physically out in or out.
You said a thermostat is a basic thermostat that can be rolled in a home improvement store?
This one's sold now at Home Depot. It's made by Radio Thermostat of America, and what it is they support a technology called USNAP, and then we've made a communication module called USNAP that communicates over the network. And then it pops up on the screen as a thermostat. You basically tag it to that customer's account. And then as soon as it's tagged to their account, the data that you selected starts showing up. There's four lines. For example, if you want them to see their electric, water, dollars and cents, whether they're in a load control event, if you want to send a message out that says there's a fair this weekend, it'll go across their thermostat as well.
And in case, let's say someone has kind of happens so with electricity, but say with a water leak, they were paying attention, looking at their thermostat?
Actually, they don't have to even pay attention. They can go in and check a box and put their cell phone number, and it'll text them that they got a water leak. So, as well as...
I know some people have been burned pretty heavily by leaks that just were not aware of until they got their bill.
Yep.
Doesn't it also give us the capability to know that same information?
Absolutely, and there's a whole alerting section both in both systems. The customer alert system is very, very basic. They can just know if they lost power and if they have a water leak. That's the only two things that a customer can pick, and then they can say they want to email to them or text to them. On the utility side, we have, you know, hundreds of alerts. They can set alerts when there's a high load on a transformer, when they've lost power, when they if they've got a water main break type of thing, if you have voltage issues on the lines and so forth.
But we would still get that same information that the customer has high usage, and we would be alerted to that.
If you select it under your, every users that get to have their own customized alerts, right?
Is your plan to have us consider this purchase order with the others? Or as a separate
whatever you would would like, Mayor. I mean, it's by approving the purchase order, then you're allowing us to go forward with purchasing of the meters, and then we would go forth with the pilot program.
I think the most of this comes down to, you know, the initial investment is certainly extremely reasonable for all the potential. But we want to make sure that we had enough confidence that we'd be following through with a more permanent, substantial investment.
Right.
But we can do that, as you said, incrementally.
Absolutely. For us, it doesn't matter.
Depending on
the only thing you'd benefit a little bit is obviously a larger order. You'd get
economies of scale.
Yep. But the system supports it.
Are we talking about, as we go forward, are we talking about a pilot that would last 6 months?
I think we proposed in there 4 months, I think, is what we happened to just put on there. Again, we were the same as you. In all honesty, we haven't had a pilot that hasn't gone past pilot yet with any customer. So we don't put too many language around it. We feel pretty confident in our system. So we know that when utility starts using it, they're going to like it and move forward. So
can you go to the 6 months so that it gives us more time?
Absolutely. We can do whatever you'd like. Yep, absolutely. Yeah.
But we would be getting a pretty good indication. So what I'm trying to think of is when we go budget time, that if we want to, let's say, expand, say, 25%,
right,
that we have a pretty good number in mind and we know what we can do and what we can do at the time.
Right. And as Tony mentioned, there's some grant money. We've had a lot of utilities on our system get some grant money. In fact, Marblehead, Massachusetts got over $1 million in grant money. Our system fully complies with everything that the Department of Energy is trying to do, more so, quite frankly. We'd be happy to share some of that information as well if that would be helpful to you.
Both departments have this in their existing budget, Mayor, that they were able to find it in line items that...
I have one more very simple question. Can you spell your name for me?
Sure.
I have no idea.
Is it on the front of this part?
It's on the slide thing, Apostolakis, and I'd be happy to...
Sure, a card or something.
I'll give you a card.
Sure.
Oh.
Thank you.
Cost
is just easy. If you just pay cost for that, will be hard, right?
Thank you.
Does anyone have any questions, or how do you feel? Sounds like we have very little to lose and a lot potential gain. And it also, too, it does what you recommended, you know, wanted to do about 4 years ago, but it sounds like this will be much more cost efficient and take care of both water and electricity. So do I have a motion to make this initial investment of $18,833?
And you're projecting it to come, you've broken it down to come out of electric, water, and sewer?
Yes.
And you got enough money in the current budget to
do
it? Cross your arm?
Motion to approve.
Okay. We have a motion by Councilmember Brittingham to purchase the remote metering system from NextGrid for a total of $18,834. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes 4-0.
Could I suggest that during this period that we be provided at least three status reports as relates to how well this is doing, yes, and
sure,
if there's any concerns or whatnot.
That sounds absolutely good.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And thank you, Tim, for the research.
Thank you.
And Jane. Thank you. Ready. Next is item number 3 on the agenda, is a request for special event, tree lighting, and holiday arts night.
Same as last year.
Everything's the same. It's the same as it's been for several years. No changes in terms of time or a block off the street.
Same street closures from Pitts to Jefferson from 5 o'clock until 6 when the trees lit, and then we go from west of Main to Pitt Street, close the entire downtown.
And that's worked out fine.
Same as last year. Move to approve.
Okay, we have a motion to approve the special event request for tree lighting and holiday arts night for Friday, November 23rd from 5:30 to 9 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? The motion passes 4-0. Next, we have another request for a special event. This is the Berlin New Year's Eve celebration, which obviously will be on New Year's Eve, Monday, December 31st, from 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m.
I think the only thing different this time, the street closures are a little longer to give more setup time, an hour each way. For State Highway, we think last year we didn't include that, what we were actually doing.
So you give yourself a little buffer?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the event's pretty much the same.
We have a motion to approve the Berlin New Year's Eve celebration.
So moved.
Motion by Councilman Brittingham to approve the New Year's Eve celebration on Monday, December 31st from 8 p.m. to 12:30 a.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 4-0. Next, let's see, the next item will be when the applicants couldn't be here tonight, so we're moving that to November 26th. So now we're going to the departmental reports. We'll start with Finance Director Musgrave.
Good evening. Just a reminder, the next mayor and council meeting, representatives from PKS will be here to present the town's FY12 annual audit. Again, it's a good audit as we expected, so you should be proud of that. Also on Friday, this Friday the 16th, I will be at Salisbury University all day for a fraud conference.
What is that?
What is that? It's an annual conference that the university has, and they bring speakers in from around the country. And they speak about different areas of fraud. It's really well attended. Back in my public accounting days, I attended it a couple times as well. So it's a good conference.
Great. Thank you.
When do we expect to get the audit report? Can we get it sooner than Friday before Monday's meeting?
I will contact them. Normally they bring it to me ahead of time. I haven't gotten the final one yet. But I do just remember that I told you I would give you the draft. And I did not do that, so I apologize. But I can give you the draft if you'd like.
Okay. Thank you.
And we can get the draft now, or how soon?
I can email you the draft tomorrow.
Good. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Next is Deputy Town Administrator Mary Bowen.
Just a couple of things this evening. I'd like to remind everybody that the Just Walk Berlin event is this Saturday from 9 to 11 in Stephen Decatur Park. This is the event that we're holding in cooperation with the Health Department to promote their Just Walk program. And also the public restrooms renovation project is moving forward. We have met a couple of times with the engineer, and seen some initial concepts. There are a couple more things that they are going to be tweaking, fairly simple things, but they expect to have construction documents to us this week.
Great, that's it. Next, Public Works Director Mike Gibbons.
Thank you. I've got a couple of things. Flower Street sidewalk installation project. We're expecting Comcast and Verizon to be finished with their work around the third week in December. And it will be starting the concrete work shortly after that. The basketball courts at Henry Park started those last Tuesday. Today we completed the sub-basin installation, and paving for that is expected to start tomorrow and finish on Thursday. The standards will go in on Thursday and Friday, and then we have to wait about 3 weeks for the surface coming to go down.
Will the surface be down and then just be curing? And
the surface will be down, it'll be curing, and we're going to put a safety fence around it to keep people from
using it ahead of time.
Using it, yes.
Great. So basically, we're thinking mid-December, it should be
closed.
Available.
Yes. Last thing, Buckingham Lane, the renovation work was completed on that section, and the milling on Germantown Road has been completed. We're basically waiting for the Buddy and Murray to finish their work on Germantown Road. And then we can put the surface course on that.
On the Germantown Road portion, as you get closer to 113, is the road going to be at all widened there?
It's going to be wider.
Because there's a sign there now that looks like it is going to be needed to move towards the away from the road. Based on where those markers are.
Pretty,
get the name bus up.
Well, it's going to, on the right side going out, it's going to be a widen. Starting where the curb is, where it's kind of tight right now, it's going to be widened about 10 feet in that area, and then it's going to, I think it's going about 95 feet, and then it'll tie into the existing. So it will be widened up at that point.
Yeah, I just have, you know, like I say, might take a double check, but I have a feeling that sign is going to have to move for everything else to happen.
Yeah.
Good.
Okay, great. Is it going to be a little bit more straighter than it is now?
Yes.
Great. Good. That's good. So all that will be squared away before the holidays. Roughly. Are New Year's? Is New Year's safe?
Yeah, that really depends on when they're ready to get their work done. As soon as they get their work done, then we can do the surface in a week.
Okay. We can just let us know in a couple weeks how it's going. Great. That's great. Next, Water Resources Director Jane Kreider.
Thank you. I just have a few items tonight. For the past 3 weeks, off and on, MDE's compliance program has been auditing the wastewater treatment facilities, and they left no paper or stone unturned, and we've got the final reports and no non-compliances were found. We're very proud of that. Work on Branch Street, the well house has begun. It was stalled a little bit during safety, but we should resume tomorrow. 818, the water sewer expansion north to 50 will start next Monday. And last weekend, a hydrant on Flower Street adjacent to Maple Avenue was hit. We got a proposal just today. It will be repaired within the next week or two. A lot of the contractors are busy with cleanup from the hurricane and so forth. So the backlog, but it is in our radar and it will be repaired.
Great. Hit like by a car?
Yes.
So
in fact, the car is
cost.
Still there.
We're not responsible for that cost.
Well, there's more to this to it.
We'll make sure we get reimbursed.
All vehicles have insurance. We just better follow their insurance. Simple as that.
Okay. Is that it?
Yes.
Thank you. The next electric utilities director, Tim Lawrence.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. I've got a few things to report on the Hurricane Sandy. We fared pretty well with that. We had a couple of poles that were broke off, and we had some circuit operations. They were down up to an hour to 2 hours due to trees, limbs coming out of trees, falling on the lines. The fault indicators that we installed some time back, they are doing their job. They're leading us to where the problems are at. You can drive right down the road and see them flashing, and you just keep driving until you see the ones that are not, and then you know it's in between there. So they're helping us to pinpoint where the problem is at. Also, I'm working on the oxidation catalyst project, which that's the new EPA rice regulation for the power plant. I met with the contractors that are helping us with that last week. All the material's been ordered, which should be here in December, and the project should start around the first week in January.
When is the rice rule have to be?
May 2013.
So are we going to be
yes,
pushing it or well ahead of it?
We'll be well ahead of it. Yeah, we're estimating it'll take approximately 2 to 3 weeks to complete the project, to install all of it. So we should be done by the end of January, no problem.
Great.
And then also the Engine 5 day tank replacement project that's been completed. And then the Flower Street, like Mike was saying, we got a little behind on that because of the hurricane that came through. We were dealing with that, and now we're involved in the Christmas lights being installed in downtown. So as soon as we get freed up from that, we'll start back on Flower Street. We're picking up the Christmas tree on Thursday that goes in front of the Atlantic Hotel. Okay. That'll be installed. That's about it.
Great. That's fun, and that's all good news. Thank you.
Thank you.
Police Chief Arnold Downing.
Good evening. First of all, we want to say thank you to all the residents and guests of town that did stay off the roadways during the storm event itself. We had constant contact with the shelters, assisted living in Gulf Creek, and the nursing home during the event. And again, we were just blessed that the weather didn't hit here. Halloween, the residents came in and asked for Washington Street to be blocked. I want to go ahead and state that was a great idea.
not only did they make a suggestion, they also followed through. They made sure that the streets were blocked, that they spoke to all the residents, and they went ahead and made sure that no one was coming home during that period of time. And those that did come home, they went ahead and parked at the church and walked in. So again, cooperation, and it really worked out on that evening. We want to publicly thank the Sheriff's Office for sending three bicycle officers and for their assistance also. Other than that, we're getting ready for the next group of events.
Great. We're doing Christmas, basically. Okay, great. Thank you. Next is Planning and Zoning Director Chuck Ward.
Dealing with the day-to-day operations of phone calls and visitors coming to the office regarding complaints and inquiries into property development. Definitely see an interest in the available properties in town, people calling, you know, appraisers and interested parties calling, checking on the properties that are available. Code enforcement is continuing. You know, we're continuing to try to weed out the problems, and new problems do pop up, addressing phone calls and addressing the complaints from the public. Getting near the final draft on the draft version of the new zoning code, and hopefully within the next few weeks start doing some ground truthing on the draft map just to make sure that the lines that are going to be suggested where the district boundaries are correct based on what's there now, and make sure that things are lining up right. We use a tax map system, so to make sure that those lines are lining up with the way it should look on the zoning map. And some of the behind-the-scenes stuff, like tonight, I went and met with a church group to discuss properties, and they had some zoning questions, and after discussing with several individuals from the church, it made more sense to address the entire group at once. So those are some of the almost want to call them zoning outreach, or at least property development outreach, going and meeting with groups of people to explain that and answer specific questions of, you know, like meeting the schools or whatever we have to do. So just continuing those things.
One thing I would say is kind of a delayed reaction, but I have gotten some nice compliments regarding the removal of the former general store over here on Flower Street. And it's kind of like, it had been there so long, I think people still saw it in their minds. But then once they realized it was clearly gone, that it has proved that that whole little section there.
When you deal with demolition of private property, it's probably the most difficult thing in my job to deal with. And the few times I have dealt with it, when it's done, even those that were the most upset by it in the beginning are also pleased.
It looks nice.
The job was done, and kudos to the Public Works Department. Wow, you know, they're great. Matter of fact, I rode by it about 3 weeks after they were done, just to, you know, thought, well, I'm going to ride and see what it looks like today, and I accidentally went by the site before I realized I'd already gone by it. You know, it's the neighborhood is much improved by it, and it's a horrible thing to have to deal with in the position, but it benefits the neighborhood.
Good. I just wanted to say that was worthwhile.
Thank you.
And the neighbors in the neighborhood express their appreciation.
And Public Works grads came up faster than the state highway.
Next is Human Resources Director Jeff Fleetwood.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The one thing that I would report on, this past Friday, I had representatives from FEMA here at Town Hall to do our preliminary discussions regarding expenses that we incurred for the hurricane.
Great. So if the county meets its threshold, then we would.
And they did say unofficially that the threshold has been met, but.
Good. So we can be relatively confident that we'll get reimbursed for what we're doing. Okay. Great. The next is Michael Day, Economic and Community Development Director.
Thursday is business after hours at the Atlantic Hotel, 5:30 to 7:30. That's a good chance to meet locally with most of the downtown businesses, should be there. Saturday the 17th, we have a new business opening and a ribbon cutting at 2 p.m., a little bit sheepish over where Abigail's was.
And what day is that, Saturday?
Saturday the 17th, okay. 2 p.m. is ribbon cutting. Their grand opening is 10 to 5 that day. It's a yarn, knit and yarn shop, very colorful inside. Tree lighting November 23rd, that's Friday after Thanksgiving. And it's, again, this year, Small Business Saturday is November 24th, the Saturday after Thanksgiving.
Great. Thanks. And you just had a fundraiser this week.
Fundraiser for
Victorian Christmas, right?
Yeah. It was canceled because of Sandy.
Postponed. Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. The next is the Town Administrator's Report.
Thank you, Mayor. I'd ask council approval of the following 11 purchase orders. Purchase order 085, the amount of $3,390.40 to United Rentals for demolition work at 210 Flower Street. Purchase order 205, the amount of $6,000 to Jamie Hester for supervision and assistance in installation of 4 oxidation catalysts at the power plant. Purchase order 203 was previously approved by the mayor and council with the vote they did today. Purchase order 247, the amount of $24,437.22 to PEPA for 7,601 gallons of number 2 low sulfur diesel fuel for the power plant. Purchase order 263, amount not to exceed $1,515 to Excellent Dewatering Solutions for the pump rental for use during the Hurricane Sandy by the Water Resource Department. Purchase order 278, an amount of $1,261.40 to Chem Art for the Main Street Christmas ornament. Purchase order 708, an amount of $2,033 to EnviroCorp for testing and monitoring of wells and discharge from plant per MDE permit. Purchase order 291, an amount of $12,580 to electric motor and contracting for repair of generator number 1 due to flooding. We will be submitting that to the insurance company for reimbursement. Purchase order 292 in the amount of $42,000 to electric motor and contracting. This is for removal, transportation, and reconnection of generator 1. We will also be submitting this to the insurance company. Purchase order 903 in the amount of $3,552 to LB Water Services. This is for 24 water meters. Purchase order 306 in the amount of $1,634.17 to Racetrack Auto Center for repairs to the 2006 Ford Expedition and Police Department. And finally, purchase order 086 in the amount of $1,701.25 to Goody Hill Roll-Off for demolition of 210 Flower Street building. This was the roll-off container.
Does anyone have any questions regarding any of the 12 purchase orders that have been recommended?
On the
11,
the on the PEPA, we still get all the bids from different companies.
Correct. You get those prior to making the order, don't you, Tim?
Right. Prior to placing the order, we actually get 3 bids. The third company never bidded on it, but 2 came up, and then I forget what the other one is. It's actually should be in here with it. There were 2 different companies bidded on the price. The reason we had to go and purchase it now is the number 1 tank was down to 18 inches. And what happens is when it gets that low, it builds up condensation inside the tank. And the condensation mixes with the fuel that can cause a lot of issues with the generators. So we went ahead and purchased it. We already had the money still in this budget paid for. So we went ahead.
Motion to approve.
All right, we have a motion to approve all 11 purchase orders as proposed by the town administrator, by council member Brittingham. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All the purchase orders are approved. I do have an announcement that the mayor and council of Berlin this week received an order from the Maryland Public Service Commission. Public utility law judge to allow an 11.48% decrease in the town's non-residential rates effective November 27, 2012, unless someone appeals the lowering of the rates, because they don't want to lower rates. But they have to do that within 15 days of the ruling. Terry J. Ramine, chief public utility law judge for the Maryland Public Service Commission, ruled on November 8th that the state finds the town of Berlin, even with the proposed decrease of non-residential rates, is able to fund the 10-year capital plans projects and base rate revenues will not result in a decline of service reliability or service quality. Assuming no one formally appeals the electric rate reduction, non-residential customers will begin benefiting from the lower rates in their December 2012 billing. I'm very pleased that the Public Service Commission, after an extensive review of our financial condition and service and of our reliability, has granted this important electric rate reduction. And the meeting, what I'm going to do is I'm going to get back whom, after the meeting, I'll just email you the entire release. Plus, Tony has copies of the actual ruling that he get from him tomorrow. They're right here at Town Hall. And it's not real long or complicated, but that we can see exactly what the utility judge said. And it was, we were expecting the good news, but we didn't want to count our chickens until they were hatched. And this is something that we began over 2 years ago to look into. And in February, when we made the formal motion to actually apply to the Public Service Commission for the non-residential rate reduction. Non-residential customers have been paying on average of about 20% more than the residential customers. It's normal for non-residential customers to pay more, but they were paying extraordinarily more than almost any other utility in the country. So this is one more way in which we can bring our electric rates in line with all of our other alternative service providers in the Mid-Atlantic. And so it's extremely good news for the town. And as I said, I will email that release out as soon as I get back home. Let's see. Do we have any comments from the council? Do we have any comments from anyone in attendance here tonight? Any questions or comments?
Mr. Mayor, council members, members of the staff, members of the fire company, we're here tonight just for a brief discussion or statement. Partnership, shared commitment, and unity of purpose. At one time, that's what described the relationship between the fire company and the town. Sadly, the relationship has deteriorated over the last few months. Some might believe that there's enough contention for this to continue. We don't believe that. At the end of the day, the resolution to the dispute is working together. It's not about us. It's not about them. It's about the citizens that are here and the citizens that aren't here of Berlin and us serving the community. Our mission needs to come first. We've come tonight to the public forum to ask again for a mediation process. Our fire company is dedicated to that. They have assigned officers for mediation, and we think that'll be an amicable resolution to these issues. We're not here again to win an argument. We're not here to continue the argument. We're simply here to put the argument to rest. We're not coming to criticize or divide. We're coming here to make things whole for the better of the community. Yes, we certainly want to talk about our funding, and I'll explain in a little bit its importance, but first I want to turn it over to Chief Brown for some comments.
Mr. Mayor and council members, certainly department heads and staff, all of you and the citizens that are here tonight that support us, we appreciate you being here. My name is Mark Brown. I'm in my 43rd year in the fire service, 27 of which have been right here with Berlin Fire Company. At one time or another, I've probably worked with almost everybody in this room. So I'd first like to just take the opportunity to thank you for the many years of moral and financial support that you have shown with Berlin Fire Company. Over the years, I've seen some horrific things. I've seen things that I hope none of you ever have to witness. I've also, on the flip side of that, seen people's lives saved or property saved. And I've seen families restored through the efforts of the Berlin Fire Company and your support. A lot of people don't realize that 80% of the fire service in America is made up of volunteers. That includes the men and women you see standing behind me. But we're not just firemen. We're your neighbors. We are your fellow citizens, and we are your partners. And when you call for us for help, we show up. We show up every time with no questions asked. Each of us in the fire service, at one point or another, will have a defining moment, a moment that inspires us to keep doing this volunteer work when we want to throw in the towel, when we're ready to quit. And I want to share my moment. It happened about 24 years ago after a motor vehicle accident right out here at the Food Line intersection, 113 in Old Ocean City Boulevard. A young mother was coming into to Berlin, and as she crossed the southbound lane of the highway, she was broadsided by a large truck. The impact of that truck forced that the passenger side of that car to within about 12 inches of the driver's door and trapped this lady. Clay Stamp, you remember Clay Stamp? Clay Stamp and I were the first ones there before the fire equipment got there. And Clay was on the driver's side and I was on the passenger side. And while we were assessing her injuries and how to get her out of this car, I noticed down in this mangled mass of metal a little red tennis shoe. And that little red tennis shoe was moving. And that's all we could see was this little red tennis shoe. And I knew we had a problem. So when the rest of the guys got there with their equipment, we, as expeditiously as we could, got this mother out. And when we did, we could see up in the wreckage a small child. That child was a little blonde-haired six-year-old girl. Her name was Ashley. To get Ashley out, we had to literally dissect this car, piece by piece, layer by layer, the whole time fearing that we would cause her further injury or possibly even death. It was quite tedious. And when we got to Ashley, what we found, in addition to her broken bones and her injuries, was that a piece of the door, the inner workings of the door, a flat piece of metal, had become impaled in her skull about an inch and a half in. And we're trained with an impaled object. We have to take that with the patient. So we had to cut this metal. If you could imagine trying to cut this metal at both ends and while holding this child's head. Nevertheless, we got Ashley out of the car. And we loaded her and her mother on the helicopter. And she was just hanging on by a thread. And when we got back to the firehouse, Clay and I were sitting in the front foyer. And we looked at each other, and without saying a word, we both just broke into tears. And, you know, not only because we knew that Ashley was going to not survive this accident, but at that time, we both had little six-year-old blonde-haired girls at home. So it became personal for us. But Ashley did survive. She was not without some permanent injuries and scars, but to this day, she's a viable citizen here in Berlin. But the moment came about a year after the accident when we were in a fire company business meeting, and Ashley and her mother and her father walked into our meeting, and Ashley had a jar of change that she had collected from her friends and her family. And Ashley said that she wanted to give us all this money so that we could help other people the way we had helped her. And then she said, "I got a cake. I baked you a cake." And her mother was holding a flat with a piece of tinfoil. And she uncovered this cake. And what I would describe as classic first grade art was a picture of a fire truck with all the firemen. But inscribed on that cake, in what I would describe as first grade printing, were the words, "Thank you for saving my life. Love, Ashley." There wasn't a dry eye in that room, trust me. But now we, and when I say we, the town and the fire company, yeah, we're still at an early point in our differences, the effects of which have not yet reached the Ashleys of the world. But I think that if we do not take a proactive stance to address our issues and come to some kind of resolution, that the very safety and welfare of the people we are sworn to serve, you and I are sworn to serve, will be compromised. Now, I can't imagine that there's anybody in this room that wants to see that day come. The Berlin Fire Company wants to do the right thing. We believe that the mayor and council want to do the right thing. So I would ask you now, I would implore you to open a door of communication that we can start the process to resolve our issues and go to a process of healing. I say to you that our door is open, and we very much look forward to your response. And I thank you very much for your time, and I thank you for listening. Thank you.
As Mark said, we've not reached the point where we're seeing the repercussions of these funding cuts. Make no mistake, that time is going to come, and unfortunately, it's going to come quickly. It's going to affect us. Look around this room. For 102 years, these guys and gals, men and women, have volunteered, and we're going to continue to volunteer. However, as Mark said, we need your support. We've had it. We opened the lines of communication up, and we don't want an impact on either one of these members or a member of the community. He talked about the rescue incident and the training. You know, we're cutting back our optional training to save on the fuel cost and the tuition, the other cost that it takes. We're putting used tires on vehicles now. We've cut out all of our quarterly maintenance checks. That's going to catch up to us. Not in a short term, but that's going to catch up to us quickly with vehicle breakdowns. And as Mark said, when the fire siren blows, we want to go. We want to go help these people. We want to go. That's why the people join the fire company. Service for others has been our motto. It's going to continue to be our motto. And again, we want to open these lines of communications up before something drastic happens. We certainly thank you for your time. And as Mark said, our door is open. You all know how to reach us. You have our cell phones, our emails. You know we're at 214 North Main Street. Come and see us. Again, for these reasons, we respectfully ask that Mayor and Council open a line of communication with us as soon as possible. And I thank you all for your time tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for coming. And this is something where we definitely also intend to have a line of communications open. There are two things that we are waiting to happen, and we've not made any secret of it. But one is that we believe that we need a third party, an arbitrary, you know, someone who's totally with that, doesn't have a dog in the fight, doesn't know one or the other, to determine if anyone has committed some workplace violations while under the employee of the town of Glen. I hope the sooner this is filed and gotten done, the better for everyone, because that is the process that must at least be put in place. The other process, the internal one, is that you all have elections, and you all have to decide if, you know, what kind of leadership. You know who you trust, you know who you believe. Somebody's got to lead here, because from our perspective, no one's running the fire department. That's how it looks to us when we try to work with the fire company. And if you don't like hearing it, I'm sorry, but we tried to work for months quietly behind the scenes to resolve issues which we did not think were unresolvable. But things deteriorated. They did not get better. So the thing that is, you have to decide, you know, every time we thought we had something worked out, the word would come back, no. The fire company will not accept that. Well, I don't know exactly, but I assume the fire company is the collective membership. It seems that we will be able to meet certain, you know, understandings, begin a basis for getting something done, and then something would go very wrong. And basically, you know, there seemed to be a lot of resentment about the fact that we were even trying to fix the problem. So I think that this is the thing, is we obviously do not want the service of the fire department or the EMTs or the emergency medical services to be diminished in any way. We wish to have an open negotiation where we can sit down and work these things out. But I do think that two things have to happen. We have to find out who is being accused of what. We have certain information that we believe to be true, but we don't want to play the role of judge and jury. We want somebody else to do that, which is, I think, the proper form for that. And the second thing is, you all have to decide if you're going to elect leadership, regardless of who it is, we don't care, that somebody that we or anyone else can talk to can represent you and then follow through with what they said. Because quite frankly, from our impression is, no matter who represented the fire company, that wasn't the issue. No matter what understanding was agreed to, rather it was through the current leadership, the new fire chief, your attorney, no matter what was agreed to, it was always backtracked. We didn't backtrack on any of that. So, you know, at this point, it doesn't serve any good to go back backwards. I do hope, and I'm hopeful, that we can begin this process at the latest, at the first of the year. Quite frankly, this is a time of year where we've got a lot of stuff going. We're going to follow through. We made promises to people about stormwater management. We just finished the thing with the electric utility. We've got a lot of good things happening. And what we want to do is, when we address this, we want to be able to take the time to do it well. But at the same time, I think that to sit and say, do we want this problem? Is there any political or any social gain for us having to take the stand we did? No. It's one of the most undesirable things I know personally, and I think the whole council's ever had to do in our entire lives. So, you know, take a look in the mirror and figure out, too, where is the fire company's responsibility in all this? And to keep being told repeatedly that nothing's happened except a few middle school antics is simply not only deceiving yourselves, but it's simply not credible. And, you know, we're not going to be sit here and talk to like we're a bunch of fools when we know that we have a problem to work on together. We really tried for months to handle this quietly so that there would be no ramifications, no disparagement, or no hurt of reputation of anyone. But instead, we got basically, you know, flipped off. You know, we basically feel, as Mr. Moore, I'll call in just a second, that we provided the information that we were allowed through the protection of privacy laws and protecting people regardless if they're an accuser or you know, are accused or whatever, to make sure that people's personal reputations were protected. And yet we did not feel that there was a sincere partnership to get this done. Basically, I think, and again, if you want to know what we think, we felt that there was just total first denial, which I can certainly understand, but the denial turned almost immediately to, what do I call it?
Defiance.
Yes. Yeah.
Send the paper.
Very good. Appreciate it. Yeah. It's one of those things where there was no need for that. I can understand it not. But the question is, we cannot sit here and say nothing happened. We're not going to pretend that nothing happened. And we feel that it is appropriate that in a court of law that all those legal issues get settled, and that when we sit down and evaluate, I do think it's quite frankly very clear from the community as well that most people in this community had no idea to what extent we supported the fire company and the emergency services. We're the most generous small town in the state of Maryland by far. So obviously we do not want to see this temporary separation continue indefinitely, but we're going to all have to work to regain mutual trust and respect. That's at the bottom of this. And that mutual trust and respect will have to be earned. We'll take it, you know, week by week, month by month. We'll get started. And my personal hope is that we can, you know, as soon as the first of the year is here, that we can begin the process. In the meantime, you know, we've got all we can do to make everything happen in this town that we already committed to. And I don't honestly think that you're going to go broke between now and January. But at the same time, whatever relationship we have in the future is going to have to be based on mutual trust and respect. And in fact, you have to understand, we are accountable for every dollar, regardless if it's even when it's $1,000 expense. Whereas we have always been generous in saying, here, take this money, use your own best judgment, use it where you need it. That, quite frankly, is a discretion we don't even give to ourselves, and I think the community wants more accountability in the future than what's been in the past. And I'm just passing it on for you all to think about as you make your decisions. You've got to make some decisions about your leadership, but you also, I think, have to make some decisions about what should be the role of the Burlington Fire Company as it relates to the community. No one has inferred or criticized your performance as a fire company. But you also have to accept the fact that there are, you know, there are standards of personal and public conduct and character that if you want public's money to help support you, you also have to accept the community standards and values that go along with it. That's not unique to Berlin at all. So just think about it, and we look forward to getting together. And thank you for taking the time to come and see us. Yes, sir.
I was going to speak as the as a citizen, but I have to speak as the attorney for the Berlin Fire Company, as well as a lifelong resident of the town. And Mayor, I will take you at your word tonight, and I would urge you all, either tonight in open session or at your earliest possible opportunity, to vote to agree to our repeated requests that we mediate with a third-party mediator the very issues that you're bringing up tonight. As you all know, my first communication with respect to this was on August 31st, at which time I said we want to mediate the issues that are before you all with the fire company, including bringing forth all of the allegations that you have referred to tonight to an independent mediator. Dave Gasco and I attended a session on mediation last Thursday. We'll allow you all to choose the mediator. We will accept any qualified mediator that you all bring forth. But after I made that suggestion on August 31st, that was rejected. I repeated that on October 23rd, asking you all again to simply mediate this issue, and that again was refused. Now, Mayor, I call upon you to do exactly what you said you would do tonight, and that is by now or the beginning of the year, or your choice, mediate this issue with a third-party mediator, and we will all talk like you're suggesting we do tonight.
And there, we will watch the results of your election, and we will also watch the filing in court to determine what issues are valid and which are not. That
Mayor
is a position. That is a position that has to be clear. We can't negotiate over allegations that, unless somebody has enough confidence that they actually happened to file them in court, because then it becomes a matter of public record. Then it becomes a matter of somebody's got to try to back it up. Right now, we don't want to be that judge and jury, but we do
Mayor, I'm asking you all to have a third party qualified person of your choice. Do that.
And
do it at the earliest possible opportunity.
And I'm telling you, as soon as those two things happen, we will be anxious to start the process.
So you're saying that you are going to refuse to mediate with the Berlin Fire Company until either you or some other person files suit against that same fire company. I think that is an egregious service for the citizens of this town. I'm sorry, I do.
Can I just ask what you mean by having leadership? Is that someone that you agree that you can speak with that's going to speak back with you that you are going to approve,
no.
that you need to sit in an election and say,
Absolutely.
I will speak to, no. I will speak to them, but no, I don't like you, and I can't talk to you, and I don't agree with you, and no, not you either.
No,
that's
no.
what it sounds
that's,
like to
that's
me.
Way, that's the way it sounds like the fire company.
No, that's what it sounds like. That's one of the two criteria. No. That's what it sounds like your one of your two criteria are. If you come back with first your first request, and then your second request was... And you have people that we can deal with. Well, what about having us deal with you?
Right. Here's the thing.
If that's not agreeable.
We have to be sure that the very people, that if the very people who are accused in a legal court of law of being the people who perpetuated these allegations,
mm-hmm.
We're not going to negotiate with those people, but as we understand it, that's a very small group of people. There's a lot of people to be. And obviously, if you all can't figure out who your problems are with, how
we have. I'm not saying we. They have leaders that have been voted upon, just as you have. The town has leaders that we have voted upon to have confidence in. That their elected officials will run their company and that we elect officials that will run our town. It's not up to you to decide if those people aren't good enough. You need to come to the same level so that you can work together. And it sounds like you're not going to make that happen unless you are happy with the people you are sitting down to talk with. That's discrimination to me. So let me just say what I have to say, because that just gets me going. But I'll just say what I have to say, and I will get up. I have a brief statement. My name is Kim Holloway. I live at 107 Davis Court in Berlin, and I've been a resident of this town for 10 years. I'm here tonight to convey to this mayor and council my opinion of the current crisis between the Berlin Fire Company and this mayor and council. Before I begin my brief statement, I want to give you full disclosure by saying that I am a spouse of a Berlin Fire Company member, but my experience in the fire service does not stop there, so my comments are not completely emotional or one-sided. I've been involved in the fire service my entire life. My late father was a 50-year member of Early Heights Fire Company and served as a chief for over a decade. He also held every electable office in that fire company, which I lived with him. I'm a 40-year member of that company's Ladies Auxiliary, as well as a life member of Ocean City Fire Company Ladies Auxiliary, holding an electable office with them for 19 years. I'm asking this mayor and council extend an olive branch to the Berlin Fire Company and work toward an end to this firestorm that has gone on for far too long. A fire company in any community is a centerpiece of volunteerism, pride, and service. The Berlin Fire Company has been serving this community for over 100 years. Through good times and bad, such as these, financial hardships, bad economies, low membership turnout, funding cuts, fundraisers, Christmas parades, casino nights, Little League opening days, fires, medical emergencies, false alarms, police assistance, mutual aid, and some days when they never turn a wheel. That brick building at 214 North Main Street has continued to be a place of refuge, a safe house, a community gathering place, continuous open house. No matter what has been brought about these past few months, the engines still leave staffed. The ambulances are responding to calls. Meetings continue. Coffee is still consumed there every morning. Resilience has kept these men and women moving forward in their most trying times. The accusations and actions of a few has paid its price between this community, its leaders, and these volunteers, and it must end. This incident has crossed boundaries into other fire agencies as well because of the inability of our elected leaders to put their emotions and personal feelings aside. The longer this incident is allowed to hang in the balance, the longer this cancer has time to grow, making it harder and harder to find a resolution. I am personally disappointed at the attitude taken by this mayor and council that they can simply refuse to meet with the fire company in a civilized manner. There has been much name-calling, and an attitude of superiority has been felt coming from our town leaders. I was always under the impression that our elected officials are elected to serve the people, to be a voice of the people, to be rational and unbiased, to listen to both sides of the story and come to a responsible conclusion. I have not seen any of this these past months, and I am asking that all of you reflect on why you are sitting before us. Don't let these men and women down. Don't hang their funding over their heads because you don't feel like the leaders of this organization are responsible enough to speak with. It is sending a discouraging message on the heels of the farmers market debate that this council already has an agenda of their own rather than what is the will of the people, in light of the admission that the chamber was given a letter to present to the vendors of the farmers market that was not initiated by them, rather our elected officials, hence looking like fools. Speaking for myself, I can't imagine being any one of you living in this town with your spouses, your children, your neighbors, your businesses, your friends, knowing how you feel about these men and women who stand before you, knowing at a moment's notice, God help, you will need one of them or 50 of them to respond in your time of need. I would have a very difficult time laying my head on my pillow at the end of the day, knowing that even in bitter times like these, when I need them, they have never let me down.
My name is Amy Williams. I live at 224 Broad Street. Ms. Hall, could I ask what you wrote down on your little thing that you erased to Mr. Burrell, and you smirked, it had a little smirky smile. I don't appreciate that.
He's a former member of the fire company,
yes.
Too. There you go.
I just have a couple comments.
From you.
Ms. Hall, your son, I believe, is part of the fire company.
Yeah.
Mayor Williams, I believe your father and mother both, and your brother are part of a fire company.
That's
great. That is
cool.
And I really think, I don't know why there's such animosity between this council and the fire company, if your family members have been in the fire department.
The animosity came when
I know the background of it.
You know, this is what it. No, we were consistently told nothing has happened here. We are making all this up. We are coming up with all this stuff, and we have no motivation for that whatsoever.
Okay, let me just make. Okay, let me have a chance. This is public comment.
In a way. That was, if you look back on what we asked for back in March,
and it was
as light as the thing as we could do and still try to uphold the law by asking for the fire company to take responsibility for these actions and just stop. We didn't ask for any compensation or any going back. I said, let's just make sure all this stops. And that would have been the end of it. But instead, every time a promise was made, every time that the promise was made that this will not continue, and Mr. Moore, you often have made statements that we acknowledge X, Y, Z, and we accede to the memorandum, and then later, not you, but then later, people from the fire company would represent and say, no, we're not agreeing to that.
Can I just make one?
All we're asking you to do is for you and I, or me and every one of you, or me and whoever you choose, plus Dave Gaskell, sit down and talk to each other. I grant you that our investigation, which we were required to do because you did not give us the results of your investigation of our employees, our investigation does not reflect the same results that we were advised but not provided with your investigation. Please, let Dave Gaskell and you, G, choose any mediator, as long as they are a qualified mediator. I don't care who it is, and I don't care where I have to go to sit with you and have you tell me what it is that Tony says you all found in your investigation. No, stop it. And I just, Mayor, you've read my letters, and I presume the other council have read my letters. I have practically begged you to do what I am begging you to do tonight. Choose a person who we can all sit down with and mediate the issue, and you can accuse us of whatever you want to. And I mean that, G. You can bring it all forth, and we'll let a mediator determine whether or not there's any way to compromise before we start losing more equipment in this town that helps maintain the safety of the town. Name it, and I'll be there. I don't care where, and I don't care when, and I don't care with who. Please do it. Please do it.
I just have one more comment. In the paper, after the farmers market meeting, you made a statement. I believe everyone at the meeting, this is concerning the farmers market, found that we have much to gain by working together and much to lose if we do not. I am confident that within the next couple of months and well before next spring, we can accomplish much because our discussion enabled all parties to share all the ways we can benefit Berlin's residents, visitors, and the larger business community by building on what we already have in common. Those were your words.
They are my words.
Pete Cosby, 211 Washington Street. I'm here as a citizen. I don't know anything about the underlying facts, other than what I've read in the paper. I heard this meeting was happening. I've been curious for some months. What is the problem here? I've been a lawyer for over 30 years. We've developed mediation systems in the court system that solve a lot of cases. I've always been an advocate of communication to avoid litigation. People who know me as a lawyer know that. A lot of people won't hire me because they think I don't fight enough. I don't believe in fights. If we can't, as intelligent people, come together in a room, total privacy, nothing said in that room can leave that room in mediation, and say whatever is on your mind and air it out. Because I'm telling you, as a citizen, folks, this is bad. And you undermine the collegiality of this group of people. I'm on everybody's side here. Gee, I voted for you against the fire department political thing because I love what you guys are doing, what you've done for this town as a council, what you did tonight dealing with all these boring issues. You guys are running this town great. I'm so proud of you in the Chamber of Commerce. This town is on top of the world. We got one of the greatest fire departments on the shore. I'm sitting here as a citizen living in this town. I came here before Berlin got cold. You know, it's getting too bohemian for me now. Maybe it's time for me to move on to another broken down town. But this town has got a lot of heart, got a lot of soul, got a lot of legacy in this fire department. We can't let this happen. It's killing me. It's killing my neighbors. We're like, what's the problem? Go in a room and talk. Please.
Please. Please.
The employee thing, okay, that's litigation. Pay the price. Go fight the litigation. You can never repay. The heart and soul of people like this who get up in the morning and save our lives.
Absolutely.
If you really, please, sit down and talk. Mediation is totally private. Nothing can be brought up later. Whoever the fire department says their leader is, whoever Joe says they are, let them come in a room with you. Get this over with. To me, this issue is a fundamental issue before this town right now. I know you got a busy plate. God bless you all for what you do. I appreciate it. I really do. But this, I think you got to realize, guys, that you can't let this fester anymore.
Nope.
Don't let this tradition get lost. When I came here in 1980 and looked at this broken downtown, one thing wasn't broken was that fire department and the equipment
there.
There you go. Thank you. That was never broken. And you guys have really built this town up into a real economic machine, and we should be proud of it. Get, talk. Settle it. Get it done. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. Again, I reemphasize that my personal expectation and hope that by the first of the year, such a process can begin. I'm not going to tell you that we can do multiple things at one time when we've already made these other commitments. And they are, to the people that are concerned about them, every bit as important. And I think that by the first of the year, we should be able to sit down and at least begin a discussion about how to set up a mediation that is fair to all parties. But I'm not going to hold out the promise before then because, we all do a lot of different things for a lot of different people. And I think that gives you at least some idea what to think about, what you think the end result to be. Because quite frankly, we're starting from scratch.
And we're proud to do that, G. We want to get everything out there, but all we beg you to do is talk to us. That's all we beg. And whoever you choose to talk on behalf of the mediator, we'll go with it.
I don't think we'll have any problem finding a very qualified, very honorable, very trustworthy mediator that everyone has full trust in. I mean, there's a number of people that come along. And they wouldn't have a dog in the fight, so to speak. And so I'm not concerned about that. But I do think that, you know, this is something that didn't just happen.
Let's put it behind us by talking to each other.
Okay. All right. Well, Mr. Mayor, as president of Fire Company, I'm again imploring you. We invited you to a meeting to talk, and you didn't come.
You know what I found out about that? Yet. Sir, I didn't find out about that till 4:45 on the night of the election. I'd just gotten home, and apparently the letter was written on Thursday. It was delivered to me at 4:45 on Tuesday. At that point, I found out that I needed to make some phone calls because of an election effort to get rid of it. So, quite frankly, it may have been an invitation, but you can't have an invitation unless you get the invitation and try to be there. Wow. So, again, I think the idea is the mediation is the place to begin. There is no reason why we can't work a lot of different things out, but the first place we need to go is start at scratch. And I think that it's one of those things where we have to begin at the beginning, because the trust was broken, so we have to repair it. And again,
what I'm going to summarize is we extend again the invitation to meet with you, like Joe said, like the members said, like the public says. We're begging you to mediate this, get together right away. This putting it off, there's always an excuse about putting it off, legal, elections, Christmas. I'm willing to take off work if it takes me to take 20 weeks off work.
I'm giving you my answer. Sorry if it disappoints you, but at least you know.
You're not disappointing me. You're disappointing these members of the community who need us. You're disappointing all these firemen. You're not disappointing me, sir. I'm only one out of 65 people.
Are you saying that the Umbrella Fire Company will not be able to provide services between now and January 1?
I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. Come talk to us before January 1st. Well, we're there every day. 2:00 in the morning, we're there. We're there whenever the community needs us. You're letting the community down. That's all I'm telling you.
We have a motion to adjourn. In all favor?
Aye.
All opposed? This is what I